Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Hagen, a nutrition coach, entrepreneur, food freedom expert, and forever a recovering disordered eater. I am here to help you own your enoughness, find your very own food freedom, and achieve your health and wellness goals in a way that gives more than it takes. Each week, I will provide you with insight and inspiration surrounding no-nonsense nutrition, mindset, motivation, body image, confidence, and other wellness wisdom. Welcome back to another Q&A podcast episode. I am here once again with Coach Lauren. Hey, Lauren.
Hello, Nicole. How are you?
I am well. Everyone in my household is healthy, so I have nothing to complain about. What's new and exciting in your world?
That's the best. Everybody's healthy for the first time in forever.
I know.
Oh, man. Yeah, same for us. We are all healthy. I'm almost afraid to talk about it because we've had such a lucky winter when it comes to our family's health. And we are just like picking back up with our spring activities. We're going to get real busy real soon with soccer and kid stuff and a new puppy in the house. And yeah, life is good, but very, very busy.
Oh my gosh. I had a dental cleaning yesterday and I was talking to my dental hygienist, you know, as much as you can with hands in your right. mouth. And she has two young kids and we were talking about how we are dreading the season of life, basically that you're in. I mean, you know, no offense, but the season of life that you're in where kids have like sporting events and extracurriculars that start at like 8 p.m. at night. And I admittedly am like a baby grandma. I don't want to be out at 8 p.m. at night, but we were just talking about how that has to mess up your kid's schedule. Like when do they eat dinner? And then they come home and it's already past bedtime. Like what the heck? So in my eyes, Lauren, you're super mom. I don't know how you're doing it.
So we only have had one thing start at 8 most of the time. And it's, yeah, not fun. And you feed your kid twice. They eat regular dinner and then they have second dinner. And for late night activities, I literally pack up second dinner and they eat it on the way home. And then they hop in a shower and get in bed. And shower is non-negotiable because they smell really, boys are smelly, especially after an hour and a half of sports. So yeah, second dinner is in the car on the way home if you're smart enough to plan ahead. Took me a while to figure that one out, but that's the key.
Ooh, okay. So I guess, you know, I better refine my meal prep skills now because I'm just going to have to utilize it more when Cole is older and involved in those activities.
There's like a famous tweet, or not famous, but like a tweet that I saw, and it was like, welcome to youth sports. You can either eat dinner at 4:30 p.m. or 9 p.m. And it's very, very true.
Fed is best, right? Isn't that what they say? So like, as long as your kid is fed, who cares when it happens?
Exactly.
All right. We have a lot of questions to answer today. Everyone was very, very engaged in the question boxes this week, which I love. So we're going to try to keep our answers a little bit more succinct than usual, Lauren. Are you up for the challenge?
I am. I'm going to have to make a real effort.
We'll see how it goes. Okay. Our first question, without further ado, is low carb, high protein the best diet for menopausal women?
So the best for what would be the first kind of question to ask. What the best for fat loss, the best for weight management, the best for overall health? What are we looking at in terms of, quote, the best? I'm going to answer this in both terms of overall health and probably with fat loss in mind. A lot of our clients are coming to us looking for fat loss. When it comes to those two things, and I am going to sound like such a broken record, the basic nutrition foundation habits will always apply. No, you do not need to cut carbs. We need carbs for energy. In fact, when it comes to menopause, you might already be experiencing a decrease in energy due to disrupted sleep and things like that. So I would definitely not encourage anybody to cut carbs. I would encourage them to nail down the basics, meaning high fiber diet, which is going to come from whole grains and other plants, things like legumes and fruits and vegetables. Lots of lean protein in your diet is going to be so important to feel more satiated. And it might even be a little extra important because our protein needs do actually go up as we age. We need that extra protein to help preserve our muscle mass. So I would absolutely encourage a moderate to high protein diet for anybody going through menopause. And then we also, of course, want to include healthy fats. So carbs, protein, fiber, and healthy fats, a well-rounded diet, just like always. It just might be a little bit more challenging due to other factors that menopause, you know, other variables that menopause can cause, right? So again, you might be a little sleep deprived due to hot flashes and things like that. You might not have the energy that you feel like you normally have. So definitely don't cut carbs because you need carbs for those that energy. And I would also focus and talk to your doctor about this, but calcium, vitamin D, all of those things are also very important when it comes to our bone health, which we know is a risk factor as women get older. They can lose that bone density and increase their risk of broken bones and things like that. So I would not cut out anything from your diet. I would focus on having a very balanced, overall healthy, nutritious diet. And then if I could add one more non-nutrition thing, lift weights, ladies. Lift weights. It will help with weight management. It will help you feel better. It will help your bone density. It is so important as we age that we pick up some weight. So that's just a little bonus tip. Nicole, what are your thoughts? What did I miss?
You missed nothing. I would echo every single thing that you said. Is high protein very important? Yes, not just in menopause, but especially in menopause for all the reasons that you've mentioned. Not to mention if someone is strength training, we want that protein for muscle repair as well as muscle maintenance. So super important to get the protein. The low carb component of this question though, not necessary. Again, I think it's important to ask what kind of carbohydrate are you eating? So there is benefit, again, not just for menopausal women, for everyone, to minimize the intake of processed sugary snacks and sugar sweetened beverages that are high in added sugars. These foods, one, are delicious, which means we're likely to overconsume them and eat a lot of them, which contributes to weight gain that we already may be experiencing in menopause, but they can also exacerbate symptoms like mood swings and fatigue. So maybe try to minimize those, whereas you're eating more whole grains and fiber containing carbohydrates like fruits and veggies. The other thing that I would just add on to what you already said, Lauren, if you're looking to minimize something, don't hate the messenger. Maybe moderate your caffeine and alcohol consumption, because both of those things can further disrupt sleep and make things like hot flashes and mood swings worse. So if you're looking for things to add and incorporate, all the things we talk about all the time, those four main food groups, protein, colorful fruits and vegetables, smart carbs, and healthy fats. I know it's not what you're looking for because it's not super sexy. It's not a secret, but the basics always work. And also making sure that you're being cognizant of your portion sizes, which is ultimately the quantity of food that we eat, what drives weight. And then if you're looking for something to minimize or maybe eat a little less of in order to make weight management feel a little easier and to manage those symptoms that come with menopause, caffeine, alcohol, and processed carbohydrates. There's no secret. I will say, however, so as someone who has not experienced menopause yet, I do know that every woman's experience is individual. So this is where it becomes really important to consult with your healthcare team, but also perhaps a nutrition coach or registered dietitian who can help to personalize recommendations to you and to your body. Menopause, just like the menstrual cycle, isn't experienced the exact same way for everyone. So keep in mind, individual differences always matter.
Love it. So succinct. We're off to a good start.
Okay. The next question, we're not actually going to answer this because I know who asked it. Why has your husband not been back on the podcast? Big fan of his. Can you take a guess who asked that question, Lauren?
Oh my gosh. I can't imagine, but I have a feeling maybe it's Patrick. Maybe it's Patrick Hagen.
I think Patrick's feeling left out that you and I are constantly doing these Q&A episodes. And I guess I haven't had him on in a while, but I don't know. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to bring him back.
Have him on. Three of us can have a chat. I've never even got to chat with him.
Oh, that's so true. Maybe we could do like a double date podcast style. Has that ever been done?
Yeah, with Tim. That would be insane. I would love it.
All right. We'll TBD that one. Stay tuned. Make sure you're subscribed to the show or you follow the show so you don't miss that one when it happens.
That will be a doozy.
Prepare Tim. Let him mentally prepare.
For the listener, my husband is, Patrick is in the industry, in the health fitness industry. My husband is not at all. So he would be like a real wild card to have.
But I think that perspective could be helpful.
Yeah. He does live with one though. Yeah. So he gets an earful.
Oh my gosh. I'm excited for it now. Next question, Lauren, is how long is the fat loss phase healthy to be in?
This, again, we have to say there's a lot of individual variances when it comes to this question, and there is no right or wrong answer. I have a couple of thoughts though. Number one, you always, always, always want to listen to your biofeedback, because that will be the real true indicator of when it is time to wrap up a fat loss phase. And by that, I mean a couple of things. So is your energy crashing? Are you hungry all the time? Are your cravings through the roof? Are you mentally preoccupied with food? Is your sleep disrupted? Is your libido non-existent? All of those things are going to tell you it is time to wrap this up. Even if you aren't at your goal, and even if you thought, well, shoot, it's only been 8 weeks and I said I was going to go 12. Your body is telling you, it's screaming for you to wrap it up early. Please listen. Fat loss will always be there. You can always go back to it. But when your body is sending those signals, it's extremely important to listen. Otherwise, you're going to crash and burn. It'll get you nowhere good. So that is the number one way to determine how long I should be in this fat loss phase. Okay, my body is saying it's time for a break. The second thing is, I would always recommend having some kind of a plan. Like, don't go into it thinking, I'll just stop when I hit my goal. We are very big on having timelines around our nutrition goals around here. And we want to be spending as much time in maintenance as possible. So you might set a goal like, hey, I'm going to pursue this fat loss, but in 6 weeks, I want to check in with myself and see how I'm doing. And then maybe you'll keep going for another 4 to 6 weeks, and that's totally fine. But I would definitely have some kind of a time frame where you're at least checking in, if not having a set time where you are definitely heading back into maintenance. But always, always, always be listening to your body. And then if I had to give kind of a general time frame on fat loss, I would say anywhere from, gosh, like 6 to 16 weeks would be, which I know is a huge range, but it is just going to depend on each person's, you know, willingness to deal with the discomfort of being in a calorie deficit, their ability. Maybe they have a lot of life things happening and they only have this 6 week window to really focus in on it. That's great. Maybe they have a bigger fat loss goal so they can push it out a little bit longer, but huge wide general timeline, I would say 6 to 16 weeks. Number one, always listen to your body. And number two, always head into it with some kind of a time frame where you know you're at least going to be checking in with yourself and saying, am I being consistent? Do I still want to keep doing this? How am I feeling? Is it time for a break? All of those important questions to ask yourself.
I swear, sometimes like you have the ability to see what I've written down before I even get to answer the question.
Why we work so well together?
I know. You are literally like the same brain. So I started by answering this question by saying it could be several weeks, it could be several months. Honestly, again, individual differences. It depends on how much weight you have to lose. It depends on how well you can adhere to the calorie deficit, like you mentioned. And I had listed generally 8 to 20 weeks is what you might hear in terms of people saying, oh, I'm entering a mini cut, which might be closer to the 6 to 8 weeks that you mentioned. You're not going to lose a substantial amount of body fat in that time frame. It's very much like, oh, I just have a couple of pounds I want to lose, say for like this vacation or this photo shoot that someone might be preparing for. I think we often work towards the longer end of that spectrum because our clients have larger weight loss goals. Most of the time, they're not looking to lose like those last 5 pounds, but also because life. We're looking to help our clients lose body fat in a sustainable environment, which means they're probably not in a caloric deficit for 16 to 20 weeks consecutively, right? We may encourage them to take a diet break because the coaching client I was talking with this morning has had bronchitis for the last 2 weeks and her toddler has it as well. Like, we're not focusing on a calorie deficit right now. We're focusing on getting her well and feeling good. Maybe there's a vacation or a work event or the holidays are coming up. We're giving little diet breaks and scheduling little mini maintenance seasons within that overarching fat loss phase because that's just what's going to work best for the client. However, then I also mentioned we have to figure out what is going to be best for the individual and always paying attention to metabolic adaptations or what you call biofeedback. So if you are experiencing any red flags, low energy, increased appetite, increased cravings, low desire to exercise, poor recovery from exercise, low libido, increased mood swings, poor sleep, those are all red flags that like your body has had enough of a deficit and you need to pull out for a period of time. I actually just had this conversation with a client on Wednesday because we were just assessing where she's at. She's lost over 40 pounds. She's lost an amazing amount of body fat in a very safe, very sustainable way. And we were talking about how she's feeling, like, in her relationship with food and in her body. And she said, honestly, I feel like I've reached my goal, but should I try to lose more body fat? And I said, that's an interesting question. How do you feel about it? I said, if you feel like you've reached the goal, you could transition to maintenance and stay there for the rest of your life. How does that feel for you? And she said, you know, it feels really exciting, but I also kind of want to see if I can do more. Like, would it be okay if I tried to create more fat loss? And so I ran down this checklist because it's not up to me, right? It's up to her body. And I said, tell me about your energy. Are you feeling like there are a lot of low energy days? Are you experiencing a lot of hunger and cravings? Jade Tita is a doctor and he always says, is your heck in check? Hunger, energy, and cravings. And if those three things are not in check, meaning they're like really wonky and off the charts, you need to pull out. Anyway, this client was basically saying, all of my metrics are great. Like, I feel fantastic. I'm not experiencing like mood swings, low libido. I'm feeling great energy-wise. My appetite feels really awesome. I'm not hungry all the time. And I was like, well, then it sounds like your body is totally okay with continuing the fat loss phase. Let's try, see what happens. And if ever you do start to notice these metabolic adaptations and or you realize it's just costing more than it's worth, we get to transition to maintenance because you've reached the goal. Let's do it. And she was so excited.
Oh, I love that. One of my favorite strategies that I've used personally and that I encourage clients who might be struggling with, you know, adherence overall, I like to focus on a deficit during the week and focus on maintenance, not overindulging, but maintenance on the weekends. And I like that because it gives you a little bit of a mental break. It allows you a little bit more flexibility and it has you practicing maintenance, which is a really important skill that a lot of people forget. A lot of people know how to lose weight, but then they don't quite know how to maintain it. So if you're practicing that already on the weekends, or it doesn't have to be on the weekends, that's just, you know, what works for a lot of people because there's more food available, more fun foods available. Maybe there's meals out, things like that on the weekend. So that it gives you that flexibility to enjoy those things, but you're practicing that mindfulness component that you need to maintain any results that you're achieving. So that's kind of one of my go-to strategies that I like personally and encourage some clients if it's the right fit for them as well. Just so you can live your life.
Have a timeline, perhaps, right? Mm-hmm. We all like a plan, or at least we love a periodized plan around here, but then be willing to be flexible with the timeline. Because if your body says it's time to pull out and focus on maintenance for a while, you better listen.
100%. And personal note, I have not done a fat loss phase since last summer, and I had a timeline on it. And a few weeks before that timeline was up, I was experiencing all the things we were talking about. I was thinking about food a lot. I was hungry a lot, low energy in the afternoon, and I pulled out. It was not worth it to lose another 2 pounds. Like, it was much more worth it for me to eat more food and have a better quality of life and have a little extra couple of pounds on the scale. So always be okay with listening and pulling out early if you need to.
So true. Okay, next question is taking us in a slightly different direction. What are some great meal prep ideas for busy moms?
Ooh, this is a good one. So I think the main thing that people struggle with is protein, which is something we talk about all the time. So if you can prep some protein or at least have some easily cooked protein available to you in your house. So can you grill a ton of chicken and throw it in the fridge to add to all kinds of meals that way? I always have hard-boiled eggs in my fridge too. And then we also always have like frozen pre-cooked options in the freezer for those nights where it got away from you. You just got to throw something in the oven really quick. You can pre-cook any kind of protein, really, lots of animal protein. There's, you know, ground turkey, lean beef, all those kind of things. Just have in the fridge that you can throw them into whatever meals. And that way you don't have to worry about the protein component, which is generally the hardest for a lot of people. If we're looking at full meals, like if they want actual meal ideas, I also love a salad kit. It does not get easier than a salad kit. I love a bag of steamable vegetables and microwavable like grains, like a whole grain rice or something like that. Literally throwing it in the microwave. You don't have to think about anything else. Adding your pre-cooked chicken and then always adding a yummy sauce or something for that, you know, satiety factor. But I just encourage people to keep it as simple as possible and do not fear those more quote convenient type foods like the salad kits, they are great in a pinch. That's what they are there for. Everything you cook does not have to be from scratch. Second tip is make leftovers. When you do have time to cook, make extra. I was making sweet potatoes last night, and instead of making just enough for the meal, I made the whole bag. So now it's in my fridge and I can get another couple of meals out of it. And great, now I have a high fiber, you know, carbohydrate source for the next couple of lunches. So make extras when you do have time. Always have a protein prepped and cooked ready to go in the fridge, and then utilize those kind of convenient things that we might think of as not quite perfect, but are more than good enough on a busy day in a busy situation. What tips do you have?
Honestly, those three biggies were on my list as well. Prepare proteins for the week, pair it with a frozen veggie or a salad kit, like you mentioned, and an easy carb, like steamable rice, pasta, or beans. It doesn't get easier than that. Like if food prepping a meal, all the components in its entirety is overwhelming, just focus on protein. Because at the very least, you could pair it with like a piece of fruit, a raw veggie, and a dip. There you go. that's good enough. I am a big fan of batch prepping ingredients, which essentially is like making leftovers. So for example, the other night I was making something and I was like, you know what? Sweet potato fries would go really well with this. So I whipped out the air fryer. Did I make one sweet potato for myself? Absolutely not. Like I threw four in there so that I could have a couple of meals of sweet potato fries as the carb that I'm preparing with the protein I've already prepared in advance for the week. So batch prep, if you're making something, you're already spending the time, just double it, triple it, or at least a component of it to have it reach a little further. I'm also a big fan of buying like pre-chopped vegetables. So I've talked about this before, but I make like a veggie slaw each week, which is just so easy to top on salads, but also just to pair it with other things. You bet your ass I'm buying pre-shredded carrots. I'm not shredding my own carrots. Do I pay like an extra 50 cents for the bag? Of course. But like if I had to shred my own, I wouldn't make it. So don't be afraid to invest in your health that way. If it's easier to buy some of those convenience-based things, and that means you're going to eat more of them. Also, I'm a big fan of like the adult Lunchable girl dinner option. This is, kids love this. So if you're looking for like kid-friendly meals, you too can do the same thing. Mm-hmm. One of my favorites is like, do I have some leftover protein? If not, do I have some like low sodium deli turkey meat in the fridge? I'm going to like roll that up a little bit with, I don't know, some mustard on it or something delicious. Do I have some veggies that are chopped that I can just throw on a plate with a hummus or a guacamole or a ranch dressing? Do I have some like black beans that I can mix with like some corn to make a fun little salsa? Or do I have some fruit? Do I have some whole grain crackers? Do I have some nuts? Like all of these things that you probably have in your pantry or your fridge that could be hodgepodged. I don't know if that's an expression, but like hodgepodge together to make this little balanced meal. It's not like a homemade, you know, meal that's warm and hot, but it's ticking the box. Like it's accomplishing everything that you need. And it's so simple.
And I would also say like, I'm like sitting here thinking of my go-to meals. I generally have like two. Eggs in a lot of different forms are always a go-to for me. And they take like 5 minutes to even make hot. You know what I mean? Like if I'm scrambling them up or making an omelet or something, now I might have the pre-chopped veggies or something in the fridge that I can throw in there. So that's, I can always throw a piece of toast in while I'm scrambling them. The whole thing takes 5 to 7 minutes total to make a delicious meal. And I can throw some avocado on there. That just takes as long as it takes to cut open an avocado and scoop out half of it. So it doesn't have to be fancy, and you can actually have like nice hot meals in a matter of minutes. My other go-to is always a salad. Now it's very helpful if I have that protein prepped and ready to go. And that way I can just throw that protein in with my salad, but chopping up some lettuce and whatever other, you know, maybe like a cucumber or something like that, whatever other veggies I have in the fridge, throwing a dressing on and adding my protein and maybe some kind of fun carb. Like I like fruit in my salad sometimes, or I'll add some kind of crunchy like add-on thing. I'm really into these like crunchy pickle topping things right now. So good. Certainly not a high fiber, super healthy carb, but delicious. But that doesn't take that long. If the protein is prepped, that's the key for me. If the protein is prepped, it's just throwing stuff in a bowl and you still get like a fresh, delicious meal that you made yourself. It just don't overcomplicate it, I guess. And don't think like, ugh, I don't have time to cook anything. You probably have 5 minutes to scramble up some eggs or throw some veggies in a bowl and toss it up with a dressing. So I think having those foods available and kind of having a couple of go-to quick and easy options like that in the back of your brain is so helpful.
Also, I had a client conversation this week about non-meat. It's Lent. So she is not having red meat on Fridays. And she was like, so I'm eating a lot of like, you know, packet or canned tuna. And I said, that's amazing. Let's figure out how we can make like easy lunches from that. So like canned tuna or salmon or chicken, like if you need something so fast, that is so easy for you to whip up and put inside like a wrap or a pita or on top of a salad. Don't sleep on those options. Also, last thing that I'll mention, I actually saw this on Instagram, TikTok, I forget where, but it was this single female who was talking about food prepping for the week and how she's really resistant to the idea, but she just got this family platter from Whole Foods. Hear me out. I know.
I love it already.
Can be pricey. Family platter. It had like 5 fillets of salmon in there, already marinated, already cooked, a huge bunch of green beans, and then like sweet potato wedges in this huge platter that would probably feed, I don't know, 5 people. She just portioned it out for her week, like 5 beautiful meals that are beautifully balanced. She figured out what the cost was. It was like $6 a meal.
Perfect.
That was genius. So like if you're looking for something for your whole family, maybe there's 5 of you, get something like that or Costco. I am a big
rotisserie chicken. Neither of us have mentioned rotisserie chickens. Oh, so easy.
So many options that you can buy pre-made. Again, maybe it costs you an extra 50 cents, but like that's probably cheaper than the takeout you're going to default to if you don't end up making something nourishing at home. I think what most people struggle with is planning. So I know that this question was about meal prepping, and I think that that's hugely important, but I think what's most helpful is planning, maybe not the prepping. So have you actually sat down and thought about what nights you're going to be home to eat versus what nights you're going to be in the car because you're going to the 8 p.m. volleyball game? Have you thought about what you are going to eat when you are home and whether you have those groceries in your house or in your Instacart? I am a huge proponent of making a menu for the week. Just a loosey-goosey menu. If something has to change, that's fine. And then from there, you can make your grocery list. And it eliminates the stress of like, mom, what's for dinner? Mom, what's for dinner? Mom, what's for dinner? You know what you're having for dinner. If you have the time, make some of those components in advance so it's extra easy. But I think sometimes it's just like, oh, I don't know what we're doing. I'm so overwhelmed when I open the freezer and the pantry. Like I just can't assemble something together in my head. Actually, I'm thinking about this. And while I'm saying this, we have a meal planning template. So like, if that's going to be helpful for you, I'll put it in the show notes below. Completely like amazing, all done for you freebie, where it says like, okay, Monday through Sunday, what's the protein, the carb, the veggie, the fat? You don't need to fill them all in. But like, if it's helpful for you just to do dinners for the week, utilize that template.
I have to second everything that you just said because I've never actually been a meal prepper in my life. I have never sat down and prepped out days worth of full meals. Never, not once. But years ago when my kids were little, I started dinner planning. And now as we've gotten into our really busy season, I literally cannot live without it because I sit down at the beginning of the week and I will look at our schedules and then I know like, oh, last night we had time. We had a little more time. I had time to roast the potatoes. My husband had time to grill a ton of chicken. And that is going to come in handy when we've got a 6 o'clock soccer game on Saturday night. And we are going to have to leave the house at like 5 and we'll back to like 9 o'clock, right? So that's going to come in handy then when we don't have time. So you can strategically plan out meals. And then on those busy nights, you'll already know ahead of time what you're going to have. Either it's going to be leftovers or it's going to be something from the freezer or utilizing the microwave, whatever it may be. I can't stress as somebody in the thick of the busiest kid season, I've got 3 kids, all very active, all very busy, how important and life-changing it is to just have a dinner plan. It's incredible. The other night I had like a little bit of time in between running kids around and I just threw together some pasta, some jarred sauce and some microwavable broccoli, like the high protein pasta, jarred sauce, microwavable broccoli. Took me 10 minutes. I got to have a really delicious hot meal before I was out the door again. And I knew I was going to have that. But if I didn't, I might've been like, ugh, what am I going to do? I only have this much time. I'm starving. So meal planning is your absolute best friend.
I couldn't agree more. Can I tell you something that a client told me this week?
Oh my gosh, yes.
I think you're going to giggle. So I was chatting with her and she mentioned that right now she's just on a podcast kick. So she has a little bit of a drive to and from work. And she's like, I've been listening to all these backlog podcasts that I haven't listened to before. And she was like, I was so excited when I got to see Lauren on our group coaching call the other night.
Aww.
Because she feels like a celebrity to me.
Oh my God.
She said, I listened to her on all the Q&A episodes. I've never actually gotten to like talk to her. So when I was seeing her and like actually hearing her, she felt like a celeb. And I said, oh my God, you have to tell Lauren that because she doesn't even listen back to the episodes. No. She does not think she's a celebrity. So anyway, I just had to hype you up.
Well, I feel like I have to tell my whole family that and brag and get some cool points with my kids who will not care at all and will not think it's cool, but I will still brag about it. So I'll have to thank her.
As you should. Okay, final question. We are making good time.
Oh, I'm so proud of us.
I know, me too. Ideas for things to do before reaching for dessert.
Okay.
Can I go first? Can I go first on this one? Okay. Someone put this in your question box. So mm-hmm. I don't know any context behind this question. But my first thought, the very first thing that popped into my head when you told me this was a question that you received was, why are we not eating dessert? Like, why are we trying not to have the dessert? And I'm wondering if, this is where my brain goes, am I restricting myself from having dessert that leads to me then rebelling against that restriction and eating more dessert than I wanted to, more dessert than what feels good, or maybe more dessert than what my body likes and enjoys, which is then why I'm trying to avoid having it in the first place. Do you know what I mean? Like that classic restrict, binge, restrict cycle. So I'm wondering if it's as simple as allow yourself to have some dessert, maybe, like if that's really what you want. If you have acknowledged that there's some room for improvement and you don't want to eat dessert as frequently as you are, or you don't want to eat as much dessert as you're eating, my first coaching suggestion would be making sure that you are as powerfully nourished as possible before you enjoy your dessert. Again, nothing wrong with dessert, but before I sit down and enjoy like a warm, gooey chocolate chip cookie or my mom's like banana bread cake, it's my favorite dessert ever. Mm, so good. I'm going to make sure I eat a balanced meal first. Did I get some protein? Did I eat fiber? Did I have some colorful vegetables at my meal? Did it incorporate a healthy fat? I know that those four things in meal form are going to leave me as satiated as possible. Did I drink enough water throughout the day? Or have I only had a Diet Coke? And that's it. Like that's obviously, if I am not powerfully nourished and I'm not hydrated, I am going to eat way more dessert than I want to. And I'm going to feel like garbage afterwards. So what should you do before reaching for dessert? Make sure you've eaten something balanced, nourishing. Like, did you eat actual food? Have you had anything to drink aside from coffee and Diet Coke? Like, that's what I would focus on. And then if you've done that, I really don't see why you can't have some dessert and then move on.
I feel like I have such a complicated history with dessert, which sounds kind of like an absurd sentence, right? But it was like my Achilles heel for so long. I just loved sweets so much, but I was mentally restricting them all the time, or I would only allow myself these disgusting like protein mug cakes, which were terrible. And I am now in a 100% different place with it. And I'm so grateful, but I can tell you to echo what you said, the biggest change in getting me to a place where I feel really confident and comfortable around desserts, I include them regularly, but I do it most of the time in a way that I'm feeling really good about, is letting go of that mental restriction. That is the number one game changer, is not telling yourself that you can't have it, not telling yourself you're doing anything bad when you choose to have it, making sure you're not telling yourself that everything is ruined because you've had it. You're just enjoying something. You're allowed to enjoy your food. That doesn't make you bad or a failure in any way. It just means you're eating something that you like, and there's nothing wrong with that. So take it from someone who spent years trying to restrict, restrict, restrict. How do I stop eating this? I can't stop eating it. Why do I feel so out of control around it? It was because I was trying to control every single aspect of it and micromanage it to this point where I would just throw my hands up and give up and, you know, eat it all. So yes, the mental restriction has to come first. You have to allow yourself to enjoy it. And of course, it's going to be easier if you're nourished. I mean, that's just common sense. Like if I go into a delicious cookie starving, I'm probably going to eat five of them. But if I've eaten a full day's worth of yummy, nourishing food, it's easy to stop at one. It takes a little practice. You know, I think it did take a lot of practice for me because my habit was so to like go to that place of now I have to eat it all because I've eaten a little bit. But it was practice that I am so grateful that I took the time to do because I really like dessert. I don't want to give it up. I have it every day. And I'm so glad that now I can eat it and enjoy it. And it's not a thing in my day where I obsess over it. So mental restriction, work on letting go of that. Enjoy the dessert, have things you really love, and just practice eating portions that feel good to you.
Mm. I will say, so you mentioned it was such a habit. I do think people can get stuck in the trap of we eat dinner, we eat dessert. Like this is just what we do. My dad and his extended family grew up this way. So even to this day, like if my mom's preparing our family a meal, he's like, so what's for dessert? Like it's just assumed that you always have to have something afterwards. And again, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but I do think it could be a really helpful practice to maybe get up from the table, clean up your dinner or whatever, go for a family stroll, like play a game together, do something away from the kitchen, away from the table, and then ask yourself, would dessert make me feel better right now? Like, how am I going to feel if I have dessert versus how am I going to feel if I don't have dessert? Because maybe there are some nights where you don't really need it and whatever is available isn't really your thing. So it's not going to feel like a huge sacrifice to say no and you don't need it. But there then will be other nights where you're like, you know what? That would really be enjoyable. Like that would really hit the spot. In which case then yes, everything you said. But I do think maybe assess if it's a habit of like, well, this is just what I do. I'm not actively or mindfully choosing to enjoy this thing. I'm just eating it because I always eat it.
I use that same strategy with a client who was really struggling with just overeating at night. And we talked about how she was going from the second dinner was done, hitting the freezer for the ice cream, and then trying to be like done for the night, but still never feeling fully satisfied. So what we focused on was you're not done with dinner until you feel comfortable. You're comfortably full. You're comfortably satisfied, as opposed to eating the portion that you think is the right portion, diving headfirst into the dessert and then trying to not eat the rest of the night. And it's kind of early in the night and you still have whatever it was. So what we focused on was making sure she was eating enough dinner and then putting space in between being done with dinner and enjoying a dessert. And that helped a lot for her because what we were finding was she wasn't eating enough dinner. But she never even had a minute to notice that she was still hungry because she was so hyper-focused on getting to that dessert. So when we focused on nourishment, like we've been saying, and put a little space, that was the game changer for her.
I find confidently 9 times out of 10, if you are struggling with what you believe is overeating, things that are not serving you, things that don't really give a lot of benefit to your health or to your happiness, it's because you're not eating enough of the things that you need that can benefit your health and your happiness 9 times out of 10. So if you're worried about how can I not have this thing or how can I eat less of this thing, maybe flip the script and ask, is there anything that I might benefit from eating more of? Let me start there.
I can't remember who it was. I listened to a podcast. It was the Liz Moody podcast the other day. And whoever she had on was saying, not necessarily to focus on breaking bad habits. It was a podcast about like optimism, but it also fell back into a lot of habit talk. And instead of focusing on breaking bad habits or, you know, not doing things you don't want to do, crowd it out by incorporating as many good things as possible. And it works with nutrition, right? Crowd out the need to eat a row of Oreos with as much nourishing food as you actually need, not tiny little portions that you've been conditioned to believe that should be enough. Actually listen to your body. Are you comfortable and satisfied at the end of a meal? You'll feel so much better when you're eating enough. And then you'll find, oh, I don't need a row of Oreos because my body is good.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then you'll get to choose the Oreos when they really are what you want and need and will feel good. Yes. Lauren, I think we did it. I don't know how long it's been, but that was pretty succinct by my definition. All right, friends, we are working on our skill of being succinct in answering your podcast Q&As. We are encouraging you to work on your skill. I feel like today we talked a lot about listening to your body. What is your individual body telling you? What is your biofeedback telling you? What are the things that you need to work on eating enough of so that you're feeling really happy with the choices that you're making overall? If ever we can help you do this or help you address any of these things more specifically, you know what to do. Fill out the coaching application in the show notes below. If you have a question you would like answered in an upcoming podcast episode, shoot Lauren or myself a DM and we will make sure we answer it in our next Q&A episode.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. If you like what you heard today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and then head on over to nutritioncoachingwithnicole.com where you can sign up for my weekly emails where I send out my favorite tips, tricks, advice, and support every single Monday morning to help you kick your week off right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.